Welcome once again to the Marijuana Policy Insider, the podcast for Marijuana Policy Project. I'm Russ Belville, and joining us here today, we have the Communications Director for MPP, Morgan Fox, joining us from Washington, D.C. Morgan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me.
Well, there's so much happening on the federal level, and one of the things I've been educating my audience about recently has to do with the process of getting some reforms happening at the federal level. And folks know a little bit about the Rohrabacher Amendment, the amendment that's in the spending bill that prevents any money being spent to go after the medical marijuana states. And in learning about that amendment, people have kind of noticed how there can be these roadblocks, these impediments that can even come down to just one man, in this case, the head of the Rules Committee, Representative Pete Sessions from Texas, who can block a lot of these reforms. So we talked about this a little bit in our last segment, but I was wondering if you could give us an update on what's happening with things like the Rohrabacher Amendment and getting some federal change happening in this country.
Well, right now, it seems like a lot of debates are going on behind closed doors. There's a lot of support on the Appropriations Committee for continuing the Rohrabacher protections, which stop the federal government from being able to spend any resources going after state legal medical marijuana programs, including patients and providers. Unfortunately, in the House, this keeps getting held up by Pete Sessions, as you mentioned. So in order to get it put into the new fiscal year 2018 budget, there's going to have to be a lot more backroom lobbying, as well as hopefully your viewers and other supporters reaching out to their members of Congress, particularly if they happen to be on the Appropriations Committees, and making sure that they know that their constituents support these protections. But since Jeff Sessions has made it pretty clear that he wants to come after marijuana in some fashion, we've seen increasing support on the Appropriations Committee for additional things like allowing the VA to be able to recommend medical marijuana to their patients, protecting marijuana businesses through 280E tax reform or through banking regulations, as well as even protecting all state marijuana laws through what's called the McClintock Amendment. So we're seeing a lot more support growing for these. That being said, because of a couple of holdouts, it may be very difficult to get anything other than the Rohrabacher protections into the budget this year.
This Pete Sessions, this Republican from Amarillo, Texas, is, like I said, he's the guy who's kind of blocking this on the House side. And we recently were entertained, I guess is a word we could use, by one of his performances where he went off at length about marijuana being the gateway drug and how he knew people that were dying from heroin who had tried marijuana the year before. I mean, with a guy this reefer mad, it sounds as if the only choice we've got is to replace him. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guy's an absolute dinosaur on this sort of thing. And, you know, regardless of how he feels about marijuana, he should at least have the respect for his colleagues to allow them to vote on this issue. And he has been basically blocking anything marijuana related from a vote in the House all year and going back into last year. So, you know, we're going to be making a concentrated effort to try to get this guy out of office and, or at the very least, get him off the Rules Committee, because there's not going to be a whole lot of potential for any sort of substantive, comprehensive federal law changes as long as this guy is in this powerful position.
My congressman out here in Portland, Oregon, is Representative Earl Blumenauer, and he has highlighted Sessions as being an opponent to reform and even talked about getting billboards out there to oppose him in his district. This was followed up by the prohibitionist group Project Sam and Kevin Sabet announcing they would fund billboards thanking Pete Sessions for interfering with the progress of marijuana reform. I guess what this comes down to, Morgan, is what do his constituents think? What do the people of Amarillo think? Is the pot lobby going up against him going to be something that actually burnishes his credentials with his base? Or is there a possibility that we can really get some grassroots upstart to take on this guy? I mean, I knew we got Beto O'Rourke in that one Texas district. What are your hopes for unseating this guy?
Well, it's tough to determine exactly how his constituents feel about the issue, but one can be pretty sure in assuming that they support medical marijuana, considering nationally support for medical is at around 90%. So I don't think that he's really doing himself any favors by preventing these bills from coming to a vote. But really, we're just going to try to get as much outreach as we can from the constituents who do support marijuana policy reform to at least let him know that he's on the wrong side of the issue. And, you know, it's going to be a while before we can figure out exactly if there's a candidate that has a chance of unseating him and whether or not that candidate can be supported from the national perspective. But, you know, I think that we just need to keep making him know or letting him know that these positions are embarrassing and they're anti-democratic.
Exactly. And Sessions is increasingly becoming an outlier when it comes to people in the House and the Senate who are increasingly warming to the idea of marijuana reform. Can you update us a little bit? I know we saw Senator Gillibrand in the Senate coming to co-sponsor the Marijuana Legalization Act. How are we doing as far as bills and co-sponsors and generating support on Capitol Hill?
Well, this year we've seen unprecedented growth, both in the number of co-sponsors and the types of bills that are being introduced from both sides of the aisle. Unfortunately, we're just not quite at the level where we can get those things to pass. And it's kind of a political hot potato at this point. You know, there's a lot of support for reforming marijuana laws, but, you know, as they say, it's a mile wide and an inch deep. A lot of politicians aren't going to bat for this issue. They're not making it one of the central parts of their campaigns. But we're starting to see that change.
Well, that's good news. Now let's take a look at the other end of Washington and the White House, where President Donald Trump has shocked us in the marijuana reform community with a few comments recently where he's praised the murderous drug war dictator, President Duterte out there in the Philippines. He's mentioned that he joked about President Xi out there in China becoming president for life. That ought to be something he wants to try, he joked. And of course, he's made these comments that imply that he'd like to see a death penalty for drug dealers and a much harsher crackdown here in America, but that he's been told America's just not ready for it. Does this send shivers down your spine? Are you worried about this actually having some effect on U.S. policy, these mad ideas of President Trump's?
You know, I'd be more worried about it if I thought America was ever going to be ready for it, but, you know, even at the height of the drug war, there was a lot of opposition pretty much across the board to applying the death penalty to drug dealers. I mean, that's just so far away from what we are as a country that I'm not particularly concerned about it. But if Trump is real serious about wanting to hurt drug dealers, he needs to start getting in front of legalization, because, you know, he may want to kill them, but taking money out of their pockets is the next best step. And if he's as pro-business as he claims to be, it's a two-for-one deal.
And especially also with the attention that's being paid now to what we have with the opioid overdose crisis in this country. The good folks out at Americans for Safe Access are promoting, you know, medical cannabis as a way to help deal with this opiate crisis. I, on the other hand, see President Trump and Jeff Sessions to some extent trying to conflate the two, trying to link them together as if to say, you know, marijuana leads to heroin and heroin leads to death. Therefore, we ought to stop marijuana. Do you see that developing in their rhetoric and in their policies? This idea that marijuana is the gateway and so we've got to stop it to address the opiate crisis?
It's definitely coming from Jeff Sessions, and as well as, you know, people like the new Secretary for Health and Human Services, and a lot of the people that are involved in drug policy at the national level within the administration. I don't think that we're seeing too much of that coming from Trump himself, mostly because he doesn't really care about the issue. People close to him have said that it really isn't even on his radar at all. And during the campaign, he said that he thinks it should be a state's issue. But the old school drug warriors that are still in his administration are definitely trying to bring up or trying to reawaken the gateway myth. And that's why public education is so important. You know, people get very, very scared when they start hearing about the opioid epidemic. And people, when they're scared, start looking for, you know, any solution possible. And the one that's the easiest oftentimes, particularly for older Americans, is that gateway theory. You know, if we can nip this problem in the bud, then it won't be an issue. And the science just isn't there for that. And we're seeing more and more information saying that marijuana can actually help wean people off of opiates and can, you know, increase pain treatment abilities without resorting to opiates. So we just need to keep getting the science out there, and hopefully we'll find some states that are really want to, you know, pursue this as a method of trying to alleviate the opioid problem. And then we'll start getting more research and we'll start having evidence to be able to show these people.
Well, that's been the story of the war on drugs and reforming these prohibitionist policies since the beginning. It seems to be up to the states to lead. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the states. We just recently had Vermont become the first state to pass adult marijuana legalization through its legislature. And I know there's a whole bunch of states in the Northeast that are working on these kind of things, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, and so forth. Can you give us a rundown of what's happening there in the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic when it comes to marijuana reform?
Well, nationally, we've seen bills introduced in 20 states to regulate marijuana similarly to alcohol. And I think that we're probably going to see a couple more. States like Connecticut, Delaware, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire are all going to be considering these bills and moving farther and farther down the line. And particularly as they start seeing the benefits from Massachusetts and Maine and from possession legalization in Vermont, it's going to be really difficult to continue supporting these outdated policies. So we're going to be continuing to work in those states throughout the year, and hopefully we'll be able to at least move legislation further down the road, if not actually get something passed this year. Particularly in states like Delaware and Connecticut. We're also working heavily in Rhode Island, which has been considering legalization for a number of years and has a legislatively created task force that's meant to look at the issue, but it keeps getting delayed, and they're really worried more about if they should make marijuana legal as opposed to how. When in reality is, next door neighbor in Massachusetts is going to have stores open pretty soon. So any cannabis consumer in Rhode Island is basically going to be able to make at most a 35-minute drive to the neighboring state. And that means that the Rhode Island is going to be missing out on tax revenue, and it's going to continue wasting money punishing adults for using something safer than alcohol.
Yeah, we see some of these states that are a bit reticent to get on the green wave here, putting forth these bills for study commissions. We need to have more study on this. I don't think there's anything left to study, Morgan. I think we pretty much figured this out. But I did want to get your opinion before we let you go here. We're in a great spot here in America where now 46 of our states in the United States have some form of reform. At the very minimum, they've got a CBD oil law like in Texas or in Alabama, right? So that leaves us four states, Idaho, South Dakota, Kansas, and Nebraska, with absolutely zero marijuana reforms, if you don't count Nebraska's decrim. Of those four states, Morgan, just your own guess, who do you think is going to be the last one to pass any marijuana reforms?
Well, I mean, you're probably not going to want to hear this, but I think that Idaho might be the last one. There is just so much opposition there. I mean, when you have the sitting governor saying that he's going to veto any sort of marijuana policy reforms, I mean, these people are making it their life's mission. And you'd think they'd have more important things to worry about than trying to block sensible reforms, particularly when they're surrounded by other states that are reaping the benefits of legalization.
Exactly. I was going to say, we've got Idaho surrounded at this point, especially with Canada going legal here this summer. So we'll see. When I'm pressed on the question, I always bring it down to Idaho and Kansas, and I give the edge to Kansas because Idaho has petition power and Kansas doesn't. But you may be right. It may be the gem state. Morgan Fox is the communications director for Marijuana Policy Project and joins us every month to give us the latest on what's happening on Capitol Hill and throughout the state legislatures. Find out more at mpp.org. Morgan, thanks for your insight, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.